Today's scripture is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 10 through 13. 今日经文是记载在哥林多前书第三章第十节到十三节. Here's the will of God. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay my foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to the light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. But what may God bless those who listen to his word.
Let us pray. 主耶稣基督，我们感谢你，因为这个话语是从你那边来的。你赐圣经给我们，为的是要造就我们的教会，等到我们教会对你的爱，对你的恩典，还够有多的认识。现在我们在这处看你的话，听你的话，也都求主你给我们圣灵的感动和力量去做你的话。但愿耶稣基督你在我们当中作为我们的老师，好让我们的心里不要坚硬，让我们有一颗温柔的心，坐在你的面前安安静静的聆听你的道，你的教导，奉耶稣基督的名，阿们。 I'm not quite sure whether you know that, you know, our church actually has been, you know, quite a celebrity in the DC area.Ever since the exterior of our church, you know, and you probably remember that we have a short dedication ceremony outside on Easter Sunday this year in April. But ever since then, we have been receiving quite a bit of attention. All good. And some of you also know that, you know, recently, about a couple months, 2 months ago, November of 2009, our church was awarded...You know, this particular award by the DC Historic Society for excellence in historic presentation. We would love for an opportunity to show you this sometime. But if you want to, you know, later on after the service, come up and take a look here. And then in December, just less than a month ago, we received another award.You know, from the best of 2009. And this award was given in Baltimore. We thank God for the attention that this address, this facility, this group of, you know, this community is generating. We thank you for, we thank God for giving us this facility and this blessing, and also for the privilege of ministering, testifying for him at this address.But all of us know that a church is not a building. They are not quite the same. Buildings do not necessarily represent the church. A church is a people, not buildings. And even though the building is beautiful, necessary, and useful, a building is not what Jesus had in mind when Jesus told his disciple and the people around him that, I will build my church.Jesus, of course, when he mentioned that, he had in mind not just physical structures, not just buildings. He had in mind of people, living people. It is a remarkable thing that the church is a growing building. Throughout the centuries, God has been adding believers to his church, and the church is growing in many, many different ways. A building actually is a very good metaphor,or example or symbol to describe a church. So therefore, we read in the passage that was just read by Thomas just now, that Paul described this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, by the grace God has given to me, I lay a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful,how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. the church in this passage is likened or compared to that of a building. And when it comes to building, definitely without doubt, the most important thing is not the exterior, but the foundation. A church or a building is no good if the foundation is no good. And in this case, Paul is very clear, very specific about what that foundation is. There is no argument. There is no room for debate. Paul says that this foundation is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So in verse 11, he goes on to talk about this foundation. He said, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, Paul is saying that, you know, when you think of the church, do not think about the building itself. Think about living people, a community of believers. Think also about the foundation that is holding up this community of believers. And this foundation is Jesus Christ. The person of Christ, his life, his teaching, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again, his kingdom, all these are part of the foundation. All these are the things that a church is committed to. In other words, the church is all about Jesus and Jesus only. The church will be in trouble the moment she makes herself more important than the work of Christ. Paul says that the church is like a building. And Paul describes himself as an expert builder. Paul doesn't say that he's the architect. When you and I think about the term architect, we have in mind of someone who thinks up the building, someone who conceptualizes it, someone who designed it, someone who kind of pictures it and sees it in his mind, plans it, programs it, and draws the designs as he or she sees fit. And in that sense, God is the perfect and the only architect for the church. Because Jesus said that when he is going to build a building, going to build a church, Jesus has already in his mind a community of believers. He conceived the church, he designed it, he planned it, he programmed it, and he continues to do so. And therefore, Jesus is the only person who has the ability to say, "I will build my church." He is the ultimate and the only architect. When Paul said he's an expert builder, by builder he meant contractor. Paul is a contractor. The owner of the building has entrusted Paul to do work on his house. So therefore, Paul would work under the direction and the leadership of Christ. He takes orders from him. And this is what we all need to do. Like Paul, as we serve together, whether you are serving as ministers on the, you know, ministry teams, a board, or in the kitchen, Sunday school, nursery, outside of the church, all of us are servants, and all of us are contractors. We work under Christ, we take our order from him, and we need to remember this very carefully. Sometimes the problem is that we get so busy, we get so preoccupied with what we are doing that we forget that the church has another real master in charge. Paul pictures in his mind someone who serves as a contractor, one who wears a hard hat, you know, maybe carpenter's aprons, and someone who has the necessary equipment in his hand, and he's building something. That is how Paul pictures himself and those who serve in the church. Those who are serving are involved in the work of building, building on the one foundation that is Jesus Christ. The purpose of the foundation is to build something on. You don't lay foundations and walk away from them. If you do, that usually is a sign that, you know, you have run out of money and you're not able to finish the work. And God never does anything like that. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. It means that in all that we do, Jesus is the starting point. He's the motivating point. He is also the finishing point. The church is all about Jesus Christ. The Chinese community church will thrive and grow when the Chinese community church and everyone in it is all about Jesus Christ. You know, it is not a good sign that our church becomes very reputable, very popular, and admired by many, and yet at the same time, there is little about the gospel of Jesus in our midst. And that is not a good thing. Paul acknowledges that Jesus is the most important reason for any church, including the Chinese community. The reason why the board members are here to serve, the reason why we have people volunteering and committing to leading worship, to teaching Sunday school, to nursery responsibilities, to security, the reason why we see brothers and sisters doing different things is because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the main reason why they serve. And we want to see more and more of that in our church. Paul also says that I lay a foundation and someone else is building on it. But each one should be very careful how he builds. In saying this, Paul is also in saying that, you know, even though he's serving, he also acknowledges that there are other people serving. Paul may be preaching and teaching, but Paul also knows that God has called other people to preach, to teach. He may be discipling, he may be doing the work of evangelism, but Paul knows that he's not the only one doing it. Because God has also given the gifts of evangelism, the gifts of mission to other brothers and sisters. So that when you see Paul working here, you would also see in other parts of the church, God has constrained other people with the love of Christ to serve in similar fashion. Paul is saying that when we serve, we do not serve all by ourselves. We serve as a body, we serve as a community. And therefore, even more so, more important for us to appreciate one another, to recognize that, you know, in many different ways, we truly are one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that, you know, do not take away the emphasis from Jesus Christ. Make him the most important thing, you know, in CCC. But also at the same time recognize that God has given to us not only people to serve on the board, but also people to serve in many other different ministries. And because we all serve together, let's appreciate, let's encourage, let's hold one another accountable, and let's also come together in prayer and in acknowledgement of the headship of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say in verse 12 that if anyone builds on this foundation, that is Jesus, using gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, that is the day of judgment, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. We are all building on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. The question is, what are you or what am I building with? This is a very important question. There are two types of material or two ways to go about doing it, Paul says. One is permanent, gold, silver, costly stones. When Paul says costly stones, you know, he's not thinking about jewelry. He's not thinking about diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and things like that. He's thinking about foundation stones that are so big, like granite or marble, you know, that it takes special efforts to cut them into the correct shape because they're needed for a, you know, specific purpose. Paul is saying that, you know, whether you're using gold, silver, or costly stones, serving God is going to require commitment, devotion, single-mindedness from all of us. That is one way to go about doing it. Another way of going about doing it is that, you know, just the opposite. You can take the easy or the lazy way out. The other three, wood, hay, or straw in chapter 12. They are materials that do not last. Wood can make a very impressive building, very, you know, impressive structure. But once it comes into contact with fire, we know that it is not going to last at all. Fire can do serious damage to a wooden building or a wooden structure. So a wooden building is not very enduring. Paul is saying that, you know, all of us who want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to make a decision. We either ask God to help us by his grace and give him the very best, learning all the time, or we can take the easy way out. But if we should take the easy way out, on the day of judgment, God is going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold me accountable. God is going to hold the church accountable. And God is saying that, going to tell us that, I know what you did. That, unfortunately, did not last. But to other people, he would say that, I remember what you did. You built with gold, silver, costly stone, and I'm pleased. And he passed the test of eternity. What are the things of gold and silver and costly stone? I would encourage you to go back and look at, you know, the early chapters in 1 Corinthians. You would find that, you know, earlier on, Paul had been talking about the word of God, the wisdom, the knowledge that comes from God. And then you may also remember, you know, the psalmist in Psalm chapter 19 saying that, you know, the word of God is more precious than gold, silver, and costly items. Put all this together, we know that Paul was trying to send us a message. Not only is Paul, you know, picturing in his mind all those who serve, you know, hard hats, carpenter's apron, you know, with the necessary equipment, even as they go about building on the foundation, serving God in many different ways, Paul is also thinking of them as being underpinned, being guided, being immersed, and being led by the word of God. Paul is saying that, you know, for all of us who serve, it doesn't matter what level of leadership you are at, as long as you serve with the wisdom of God, as long as you serve with the word of God deeply embedded in your heart, that is what God is looking for. On the other hand, we can rely on human wisdom. We can make decisions based on what popular culture dictates. We can choose to go our own way and not consult God. We may get something done, but it won't last. And to persist in that way is to choose to build with wood, hay, and straw. I pray that God would give our church such determination that, you know, because we desire to lift up the name of Christ, because we desire to give our lives to him, given what he has already done for us, therefore we would continue to give God our very best. And in serving together, we would walk closer together, and we would also come within closer encounter with God. Sometimes serving together produces frictions because we all see things differently. We have our own ideas. We have our own preferred ways of doing things. So there will be frustration. There will be moments of indecision. There can even be anger or hurt. But God tells us that, just remember, the reason why you serve is because of Jesus Christ. Make him count. Make him the only thing that counts. When we serve only because of our love for God, you would find that a lot of other things becomes relative. They become more bearable because the only person that we need to be accountable to is God. And God is saying that, you know, because you want to serve me, therefore, do it anyway. Doesn't matter whether you feel that you are the only one. Serve anyway. Doesn't matter whether you feel underappreciated, serve anyway. And there's going to be a lot of those anyway moments in our serving together. I'd like to share with you an example having to do with Mother Teresa. This is from Pastor Robert Schuller. He had the opportunity of visiting her orphanage in India after Mother Teresa passed away. And upon arrival, you know, he was shown the place. It was a very, very crowded and busy place. And this is what he said when he arrived at the orphanage in Calcutta, India. There I saw over 400 abandoned children, all under the care of the Sisters of Charity, the order founded by Mother Teresa. The sisters are so beautiful. I don't know how old they are, but they each have the radiant beauty of the young innocent. You can see in their faces. And all the sisters of charity have it. When I stepped into the orphanage, there was such an environment of love and joy. The children ran to hug my legs and laugh as if Grandpa had come to visit. They were all so happy because those who care for them are also happy. Note this. When I was about to leave, as I walked through the lobby of the orphanage, one of the sisters pointed to a wall hanging and said, "You should read this. Mother Teresa had it enlarged and hung on the wall here." And this is what this pastor read. It is from some, you know, anonymous person. And the title of the poem is called Anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. People love underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Follow some underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best that you have, and you may get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. This is how Mother Teresa went about serving God. She served not because of human reward, not because of accolades. She served because of God. And because of God, she was willing to serve. Even though when she was criticized, even though when she was under attack or maybe unappreciated, she would say, love them anyway, serve them anyway, lead them anyway, comfort them anyway, encourage them anyway. Why? Because of Jesus in her heart and because of Jesus in our hearts. As God builds up this community in the power and also beauty of Christ, let us have these attitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve anyway because of him. Not because of the pastor, not because of the board, not because of the church, but because of Jesus in your heart, because of Jesus in our church. So that more and more people may come to see the power and the grace of Jesus in this church.